Happy Tuesday, welcome back from Victoria Day, and welcome to the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I'm Robert Dutt, editor of ChannelBuzz.ca, and as always, your host for the show. Today we bring you the first of two interviews with executives from Extreme Networks. I had the chance to attend last week's Extreme Connect event in Nashville, had some good conversations there. The first of those is this interview with Extreme President and CEO Ed Meyercord. At the show, Ed focused heavily on the emergence of the new Extreme with its acquisitions of assets from Zebra, Avaya, and Brocade behind it, so we'll start off by discussing that, including how the company's partner culture is building post those acquisitions. We also discuss the launch of Extreme Elements as a strategy and approach, and get into how the company's partners fit in with that. We also touch on where Meyercord sees opportunities in the Canadian market, and discuss why he feels that campus networking is a big opportunity for the company's partners, despite it being an overall flat market segment. It's a great interview, so let's get right into it. My chat with Ed Meyercord. Ed, thanks for taking the time. Appreciate it.
Great to be here.
We wanted to drill into a few things you talked about on the main stage yesterday here at Connect. And one of them was kind of crafting the culture of Extreme after all the acquisitions. Are handily in the rearview mirror now, but where are we in sort of that journey? I mean, I know culture is something that it's never something that you kind of say, okay, well, that's done. Don't need to pay that attention to that ever again.
No, it's constant.
Yeah,
absolutely constant. And one of the slides that I put up was showing us at NASDAQ ringing the bell.
Yeah,
our team was there. It was really exciting. We're 20 years old as a company, as a public company. It's a long time to be public, but as I mentioned, our theme, we're just getting started. And Extreme, that's the mindset. Culturally, it's the mindset. It's how we think about it. Now, anytime you go on an acquisition binge and you start buying up companies, we've doubled in size. Mm-hmm. We've added amazing technology. We've gone from 13 to 3. We have strengthened our position in the industry considerably. We've added incredible technology. We've added incredible customers. When you look at 50% of the Fortune 50 and all the different verticals where we have deep penetration and advanced solutions, where's the human element, right? Where's the human element? How are the people coming together? And ultimately, that's culture, right? So how do the people come in? I was just in a meeting before we started this discussion, and one of the gentlemen who was a salesperson for one of the companies that we acquired, he's our top producing salesperson in the company. He said, candor. He goes, the first day I came in, you spoke about candor. And that totally bought, you hooked me with candor, because candor is so difficult. It's so hard to achieve candor in a business environment. Keeping it real. Mm-hmm. So as a team, as a company, culturally, we like to keep it real. It's not easy. It's hard. And by the way, it's not easy for people coming into our environment to embrace or to even deal with the candor.
Yeah.
And that's something that's been really important. So when we acquired the networking businesses from Zebra, Avaya, and Brocade, that these were assets that were captive inside of bigger companies. So in the case of Zebra, they were a handheld device company primarily, a multi-billion dollar business, but the wireless LAN business was a small piece of that. As you look at Avaya, primarily voice. I mean, it's a big voice business, call center, contact center business. And then the networking piece was a relatively smaller piece. And then if you look at Brocade, the SRA business that we acquired was, a piece within a larger storage business. So all of these networking people have been captive. I don't want to say they're prisoners, but they were captive. They were captive inside of a bigger company. They came in to Extreme, and it's a networking homecoming. And that's what it's been like. People have been genuinely excited about what they found at Extreme. And they look across the portfolio, and they see all the different technologies. And so it takes a while to gel. I would say the initial phase is not invented here. My technology is better than your technology, and we should go with this. And there's that element of somewhat confrontation and people fighting around, who's got the superior technology. I'd say now we're at the stage where people are looking at this and they're saying, oh my gosh, like this, we have an amazing portfolio of technology. We brought in people from the outside who are completely neutral. They have no legacy, heritage. They don't care about the past. They're coming in objectively, and they're blown away by the depth of our portfolio and the depth of our solutions. And they're enlightening. I think everybody's opening their eyes to like, wow, we have this amazing portfolio of technology, amazing solutions. This ties into our element reveal. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that we have so many different pieces of technology across, you know, the end-to-end platform, and then so many different ways to apply software and software-driven solutions that we have to become more prescriptive as a company, and we have to get really focused on our industry verticals, and then we have to lay out all the different elements, and then we can pull elements and apply them to a solution, be it retail, be it healthcare, be it education, be it manufacturing, be it a service provider. So we have lots of different technologies. It can be automation tools for the data center with Workflow Composer and this whole suite of software that we have around the data center. It could be on the edge and what we have. We came out with our AI ML security service, which is really about edge and the Internet of Things. So across the portfolio, we have a huge amount of technology. We've split it up into elements, and now we can create different solutions with those elements for different use cases for customers. And culturally, you know, kind of going back to the culture question, you know, my mindset, we're customer driven, and it's a contrast to the bigger players in our industry that create products and they push products onto the marketplace. A lot of the products, they don't fit well together, and they require lots of professional services, and it's really expensive, and it's really complicated, and it doesn't work so well. So we're taking a different approach. Instead of pushing products out into the marketplace, telling the marketplace to create a solution, you figure it out. Here's an army of professional services that can somehow try to make it work. It's really complicated. We're trying to simplify, and we're trying to make it easy. And we're taking our own portfolio, and we're saying, from a customer's perspective and from a customer lens, what is the customer trying to achieve? What is the outcome? What is the use case? What are they trying to do with their business and changing business outcomes? And how can we apply all of these elements to driving better outcomes? And we're doing it internally. So one of the things that we've done is we've applied all the technology and we've brought it into our environment. So our entire portfolio is at work at Extreme. That's been enlightening. We call it, Extreme on Extreme, E squared. And this initiative has also been enlightening for, our teams and our companies as we
learn a lot,
eat our own dog food, drink our own champagne, however you want to frame it. This is what we're doing at Extreme, and it's making us smarter as we approach our customers.
All right. Elements strikes me as sort of a unique combination of prescriptive and choose your own adventure. Prescriptive in sort in that there are sort of preset integrations and that sort of thing, and choose your own adventure as in I'm in this vertical or this is my particular business need. I want this part that fits my need. How do you see that and especially that need for simplicity that you describe? Changing what it is your partners are doing in terms of the services they bring to offer, in terms of the role they play in a customer rollout, and ultimately how they add value.
Look, we are a partner-driven company, and we have a wide range of partners. Some of our partners are going to really appreciate the simplicity of having a prescribed solution for a particular vertical. So let's say it's a primary education K-12 school or and we have a solution, and that solution is about, let's say, in our, it's a automated kind of fabric environment. On the edge, we have software tools for facial recognition that we partner with, and so we can identify students coming into the class. We have geofencing to identify people that don't belong, that are not normally on campus, that are coming in from a security perspective. And I could go on and on about all the different applications, mm-hmm. but let's just say we package that up in a neat bundle with our different elements, including our own technology and third-party partnering technology. A partner, this they could have just a great bundled solution to go bring and roll out to an end user and to a potential customer of Extreme. So from that standpoint, I think people will like the bundling that we prescribe. At the same time, partners that maybe are more deeper into the technology that more or want to create their own solutions, they'll have a palette and mm-hmm. they can build their own solution. So we have the elements are somewhat horizontal, if you will, and you can pick and choose how you want to build your solution. So from that standpoint, those partners that really dive into the technology and they're really deep with their customers and they want to customize and create their own solution, they have a lot of options from a technology perspective. Those that like the canned solution, if you will, that we put together as we focus on different verticals, it's a simple solution for them to market and sell, and it's prepackaged.
Mm. All right. Circling back to culture for a second, I wanted to touch on sort of the culture, how the culture impacts the channel and how the channel fits into that culture, especially because, as you say, through those acquisitions, you've acquired people internally, but you've also acquired disparate groups of partners. And I've had some interesting conversations with partners here, you know, who can ultimately say, you know, well, I sort of ultimately got on this ride with Enterasys, which is
oh yeah,
a few acquisitions yeah. ago and a while away. Can you maybe speak to sort of how you're driving the culture, the feeling of Extreme into the channel community?
I guess what I would say is, and in the spirit of candor, we talk about value. You know, when you're acquiring businesses, it's not seamless. Yeah. And the whole idea that companies come together and, you know, it's a wedding and they live happily ever after is just not a reality. The reality is it's complicated and it's messy. You have to move lots of data. Your systems, you categorize customers in different ways. Service entitlement. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that things can get complicated, and they can get complicated with partners. And they know that. And our channel partners are watching very closely. Are they going to continue to invest in the platform? Are they going to support the technology? Can I believe them? What corporate says, what's really happening? So it takes a while for the fear, the uncertainties, the doubts to get smoothed out, if you will. And I think we're at that point now with our channel partners. We rely on our partners. I mean, we're a partner-driven company. We never had any enablement at Extreme going back 2 years ago, 18 months ago. I mean, there was literally nothing. They could go on our website and they could try to figure it out. Today, we've invested a ton of money. We've created tools, training tools, enablement tools. We talked about the dojo, mm-hmm. the martial arts belting system, where you can start off slow and get the corporate message, and then you start going deep into the technology and the solutions. Well, that's available for our partners now. And our partners who are embracing this are crushing it, absolutely crushing it. So doubling, tripling the size of their businesses with Extreme because they truly understand the technology and how to apply it to their customers. Mm-hmm. So it's those training tools and the enablement tools that's really helping the channel build their business with Extreme. And it's been it's been a game changer in terms of the integration of the platform and cross-selling. So one of our largest partners who was on stage yesterday, mm-hmm. Longtime Enterasys customer. Now they've embraced Extreme XOS switching. So it took them a while. And in Germany, they tend to take their time. And I can go to Canada as well. But well, now it took a while to embrace the fabric technology required from Avaya. And actually, it took them a while to embrace the wireless technology that we acquired from Zebra. And in terms of the data center and the SLX platform, it's taken them it's all starting to happen. And they're getting their master specializations across the portfolio in the different technology areas. And it's all stitched together with our single pane of glass XMC software. They they're doing really well. But as you said, people here are still going to talk about Enteresis, they're going to talk about Avaya, and hopefully they're not dwelling on the bumps in the road, because there's always going to be bumps in the road when you're pursuing an M&A strategy. But I would say now it's, you know, we're in a very good position. We have more tools, and the experience is much smoother than it's ever been.
All right, great. I want to talk a little bit about the Canadian market and kind of what you're seeing in Canada, the biggest opportunities you have. Basically, how are things going in Canada, and what are you thinking about the Canadian market right now?
So, I would say in Canada we're just getting warmed up. Mm-hmm. Historically, Extreme was underfunded in Canada. We were underinvested in our go-to-market in Canada. We identify that, and then we started adding resources. Look, our whole wireless team is based in Toronto, yeah, okay? Yeah. So that was one of the things that I looked at. I'm like, wait a minute. You know, we have our wireless. Why aren't we selling more or driving more business? And some of that has to do with partners. You know, that's a big element of it. But I think partners sense our commitment to the market. Mm. And I'd say today we're absolutely committed. If you look at Avaya and you look at Roots from Nortel, okay, mm-hmm. that technology, we have a huge embedded base of customers and then old partners that love the old Nortel technology that became Avaya and that's now Extreme. So I'd say we have a big opportunity. I think there's a big partner opportunity because of how our technology is deployed. And we've changed leadership and we've been investing in supporting the Canadian market. So over the past 2 years, we've more than tripled the size of our team in Canada, and we see a huge opportunity in Canada.
Are we at the point where the returns on that investment are starting to come in?
Yes.
Okay.
The growth rate, our projected growth rate in Canada is 4 times the growth rate of the
organization overall.
Yeah. There's a big opportunity in Canada. So for all the Canadian partners out there, they should be paying attention to Extreme because of the solution that we have, the embedded technology that's there, the ways to win. It's a big opportunity.
Where do you need more air support, more cover from partners to realize that opportunity, either in Canada or on the worldwide stage?
What we need is engagement. And at the end of the day, we want partners to give us a shot. And we want partners to take the time to understand the technology. And a little bit of technology knowledge about our technology goes a long way. Mm. So as the technical teams for our partners get educated on our portfolio and they understand the solutions, the selling teams that work with the technical teams mm-hmm. get a lot of confidence, because the system engineers who are out supporting the solution when it goes into a customer environment get excited. And when they get excited and they can support the technology and the solution, the sellers have a lot more confidence when they get in front of the customer. Mm. So we want our Canadian partners to be bold. We want the technical teams to get educated on the technology and the portfolio, and we want to incentivize them to do that. And we do that with our partner programs. Mm-hmm. And we're certain that they will grow their business significantly. And as you know, partners working with Extreme can make more money than they can with the bigger companies.
Mm. What do you see as the biggest untapped or under-realized opportunity for your partners right now? If partner companies are saying, I'm looking for a new field to explore, where would you point them?
The hottest technology in our portfolio today is our automated campus. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because if you look at the statistics of the market and you look at, you know, campus networking, it's a flat market, more or less.
Yeah.
That for us, it's a high growth market because mm-hmm. of the agility, resiliency, what we're bringing in terms of, you know, our fabric technology. We had a hackathon here from a security perspective. You can't hack. It's never been hacked. All the hackathons, we've never been hacked. And I think in Canada specifically, I think this is a huge opportunity because this comes from the Nortel legacy, right, and heritage. And I was just speaking with a healthcare customer, and they have presence in the Canadian market. Mm-hmm. They had an environment where they standardized on our fabric technology for the campus. That allowed them to eliminate more than half of the firewalls they had in their environment. Firewalls slow things down in terms of business agility. So if you're able to do that and secure your network environment, that opens up agility, network resiliency. Their operating expense for running the network went down 60%. That's a big deal. Yeah. So in this environment where the needs and for IT and the requirements in terms of what you're trying to cover are going up, so there are more demands. Your costs, as far as what your allocated budget, that's going down. So what's going to solve this? You have more demand and less cost, and it's technology. And we have superior technology. It's being driven on the campus, I would say. We also have edge solutions, across the portfolio, but I would say right now, it's that core infrastructure, campus infrastructure, hyper-segmentation, the security, can't be hacked, the ease of deployment, simplicity, that's really driving that part of the portfolio.
All right. Kind of the territory I wanted to cover with this. Any parting shots for the Canadian channel community?
We're excited to grow. We're growing in Canada, and for the channel community, I'd say we welcome new partners. Mm-hmm. Our existing partners, we want people to learn the technology. I would encourage people to get on the bandwagon, dive into the technology. It's a great opportunity to grow your business, and as I said before, you can't have a more profitable relationship than working with Extreme.
All right. Ed, appreciate you taking the time, and thanks for
having
me.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah.
There you have it, a look at all things Extreme with Ed Meyercord. I'd like to thank Ed for taking the time to chat, Extreme for having me out to Connect last week, and of course, thank you for listening. The ChannelBuzz.ca podcast will be back later this week as we wrap up our coverage of Extreme Connect with a conversation with Extreme's channel chief, Gordon McIntosh. We'll cover how Gordon sees partnering changing, what his team's focused on, and why he believes there's huge opportunity for partners in IoT. If you enjoy the show, be sure to leave us a rating and review in your favorite podcast app. And of course, you can always subscribe in Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts to make sure you don't miss anything. Until next time, I'm Robert Dutt for ChannelBuzz.ca, and I'll see you around the channel.